Take your Bibles now and go to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 27. This evening we'll read verses 11 through 14 responsively. Psalm chapter number 27, beginning in verse number 11. I'll read verse number 11. You'll join me on verse 12 all the way through verse number 14. The Bible says in Psalms 27, verse number 11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been a good day already. Lord, it's been a good week, Lord, to see answer to prayer, Lord, to see people being saved, Lord, lives being changed and hearts being stirred, Lord, with the preaching of God's word. Lord, may tonight not just be another service, but Lord, may we take to heart the message that has been prepared for us from your word by your man. Lord, would you please speak through the truth as it's being taught, Lord, to our hearts. Lord, may we not just listen with the intent of getting something for ourselves, but Lord, may we listen with the intent of getting so we can go do more for you with what you've given to us this evening. Lord, we yield ourselves to you. Would you bless us this evening? May your hand be evident on this evening's service. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to use this passage a good bit tonight. Psalm 27 is all about being under stress, being in fear, being in panic, being in derision. Let me show you what I mean. Look at verse number 1. "The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?" That doesn't sound like a time in life where you want to be there, does it? Those aren't unstressful days. Verse number 2. "When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh." Sounds like President Trump. Amen. It's talking about our enemies attacking us. Verse number 3 says there's a war against us. Verse number 5, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion." Folks, when you're in a time of trouble, it's stressful. Verse number 7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice." When you're crying, you're not having a good day, usually. Unless you're a woman, then you never know if it's a good cry or a bad cry. But we won't go down that path. Verse number 10, "When my father and my mother forsake me." You know, even when your family turns their back on you, those are tough days. So Psalm 27 is right where we live, so to speak. In other words, God tells us here that there are times when it seems like life is falling apart. Have you ever been there? Life has a way of piling up on you. You young people, hang in there. You're in your teen years or early 20s, life's okay. Wait till you hit 30s and 40s and 50s. I haven't gone past that yet, so I don't know, but I know that it begins to pile up more and more. It gets more and more complex. Life has a way of just, somebody said, well, life comes in waves. They never told me those were tsunamis. They just never used that word before. My life seems to be a river of endless bad news. When you're in the ministry, there's bad news virtually every day of your life. And if I'm not careful, I could get discouraged. My wife will tell you, my family will tell you, I'm a pretty happy person. Considering everything that happens, I'm a pretty happy person. There's not hardly a day of my life. I know there's not a week of my life where I don't deal with death, disease, brokenheartedness, disappointments, bad finances, not necessarily mine, but other people's. Hardly a day passes without bad news coming my way. Let me show you what I mean. Just today, I got early this morning, before 6:30 this morning, I got a text from a friend of mine in another state. He said, "Preacher, would you pray for a family in my church? They have a 5-year-old boy. They were on vacation. As he got out of a swimming pool, he fell and hit his head and cracked his head, went into a convulsion, and he's on life support." That was before 6:30 this morning. In that same time frame, I got word of a friend of mine whose daughter is a foster parent, and two of the kids that she has right now, the parents are drug addicts. She'd like to keep the kids. The father, they've failed every drug test every month since they had to give their kids up. And the dad threatened to kill the wife in front of the social worker. And now these kids have to go spend a month with an aunt to see if she can handle them. And the aunt's probably going to turn right back over to the parents. That's heartbreaking. That's hard. That's just in the last 12 hours of my life. Yesterday, Brother Juan and I were with Brother Don's mom, and she's dying of cancer. I got word just recently that Brother Bulkley's dad is near death. And I could go on and on and on and on. It seems like every day something like that happens. You say, "Preacher, how do you deal with that?" I'm going to show you. How does God expect us to get through life when it's this hard? I'm going to make a statement here. God did not create the mess. Our sin creates the mess. God did not create the hardship. Our sin creates the hardship. God did not make it to where he wanted you to have this. Our sin brought this on. God does not plan the heartaches, the burdens, the sorrows, the despairs, and the attacks we face. Quit blaming God for what's going on in your life. How about you look in the mirror, realize we're all sinners. It's all a result of sin. God did not plan a Nancy Pelosi. We have a better God than that. God did not plan for much of the evil that takes place in this world today. That's a result of sin. Quit blaming God. God did not create the mess in the world today. Men wouldn't obey God, who he did create. If man would just obey God, we wouldn't have some of the problems we have today. Why do we blame God for our disobedience? Why do you expect God to keep bad things from happening to you as a sinner? Where's the justice in that? But there's a gold nugget of truth here in Psalm 27 that I want you to get. I want you to understand. It's what keeps me going. I believe it will help you in your life. Psalm 27, verse number 13 is what I want to focus on. The Bible says, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." You see, God tells us when we cannot see his goodness, we have to believe someday we will see his goodness. I want you to see it again. "Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I can't always see the goodness of God in a situation, but guess what? God is goodness. God is good all the time, whether I can see it or not. Whether I see it or not is not the issue. He is a good God. Just because my vision is clouded, just because I'm in a situation where I cannot see it, does not mean that God is not good. So, it may take a while, but eventually I will see God's goodness. I may have to go through hardship to see God's goodness, but I will see God's goodness. Daniel did not see the goodness of God going into the lion's den. but he saw the goodness of God. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego did not see the goodness of God going into the fiery furnace, but they saw the goodness of God. Amen. They couldn't see it at the time. Our God will deliver us. But if not, sound familiar? You see, sometimes we expect to see God's goodness all the time. Can I tell you something, folks? All sunshine makes a desert. And because we're sinners, and because everybody in the world is a sinner, there's going to be consequences to pay because of that. Yes, sir. Now, let me help you. I have to believe to see. I have to believe to see the goodness of God. Number one, we will faint if there's no hope of God's goodness. Look at the verses here. I had fainted, verse 13, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of God. The word fainted is a very interesting word. It means rabid. You know, like you got rabies, you know, frothing at the mouth, out of your mind, kind of, you know, going nuts, so to speak. Third floor of the hospital kind of thing, you know. I love me coats, you know, with long sleeves and padlocks. It literally means the word insane. It means overwhelmed or exhausted from frenzy. I'm going to make a statement here. This world faints because they have no hope of seeing God's goodness. No wonder the lost world is so crazy today. If they did not know what is in the hereafter, no wonder they act the way they do. They have absolutely no hope of seeing God's goodness. We were driving home today and people were out mowing their yards, washing their cars. It's not sinful to do that on Sunday. I get that. But I'll guarantee the ones that were doing it didn't go to church today. I told my wife, I'm glad Sunday's just not another day to me. I'm glad Sunday's set aside for God. I'm glad I get to go to church most of the day. You see, this world faints because they have no hope of seeing God's goodness. Don't get mad at me for this statement. I get a little tired of Christians who live like lost people. I don't have any hope that anything good's going to happen to me. Well, if you're saved and on your way to heaven, you have hope of seeing God's goodness. Just because the circumstances aren't going well now, honey, doesn't mean that goodness ain't around the corner. Get your eyes off your stinking self and look at God's goodness. Well, I can't see it right now. You have to believe one day you will see it. You see, why do we act like a lost person as a saved person? Christians should never live fainting in the Christian life. I get a little tired of Christians that if everything doesn't go the way they plan, by the way, that's part of you playing God. Well, if I were God, well, you're not, and we're glad, and so is everybody else. Well, I just don't understand God. Aren't you glad? I'm glad I don't have a God I can't understand. Because if I could understand him, I would be greater than he. I have to trust him. I also have to believe one day I'll see the goodness for it. By the way, isn't that what Romans 8:28 is all about? And we know that all things work together for good. It did not say all things are good. By the way, it doesn't say all things work together for my good. Sometimes what is good is not good for me. There were times I got whooped as a kid. It was good for me, but it wasn't good for me. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm glad it happened now, but not then. It was good for me, but it sure didn't seem like it was going to work out for good, let me tell you. It was going to get worked out. You see, Christians have no business living without the hope of seeing God's goodness. Folks, the worst thing that could happen is you die and go to heaven and see God's goodness every moment for the rest of eternity. Amen. What are you so worried about? Well, I just don't believe that death is a good thing. I believe death is a good thing for the saved. Doesn't matter if they're unborn. Doesn't matter if they're a child, a teenager, a young adult, a middle-aged adult, or an older person. If they're on their way to heaven, that's a good thing. Amen. Let's quit being so selfish and playing God. Everybody doing all right? Just because you can't see God's goodness doesn't mean it's not there. Just because right now you don't see it does not mean it's not there. That little girl and that little boy whose parents are drug addicts. They got put in a foster home where their adopted grandma sat down and won them to the Lord. I'd say it's working together for good right now, wouldn't you? I can't tell you what the next step is, but I know this, they're on the way to heaven. I don't understand it. No, I don't. But I have to believe the goodness of God is there whether I see it or not. God's goodness is always there because God is good. Amen. He is goodness. He is the source of all goodness. And the Christian needs to believe that one day we will see God's goodness in the situation. Isn't that what Hebrews 11:1 is? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What you're saying is you don't have faith in God. You see, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. By the way, those of you that see it right now, hang on. Day's coming where you're not going to be able to see it. Just hang on. It's coming. So we will faint if there's no hope of God's goodness. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of God. You will faint if you lose focus on the fact that God's goodness will be there someday. I didn't say it was good right now. But you have to believe someday it'll work out for good. Number two, believing to see takes waiting. Believing to see takes waiting. Look again. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Look at verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Boy, that's a word we hate, isn't it? By the way, the word wait does not mean sit there doing nothing, hiding in your depression and despair. Wait doesn't mean sit on your blessed assurance doing nothing. The word wait means continuing to serve or continue to work. When you go to a restaurant, the server or the waiter or waitress will come to your table. Unless you go to fast food. Can I tell you something? God says, wait on the Lord. Keep serving the Lord. Continue to do the work and keep going at the last command. Don't run and hide and just sit there, do nothing. You see, God says, keep on obeying even when you don't see results. Can I teach you something that's very important? We humans are result-oriented. God is obedience-oriented. God's not interested in your results. He's interested in your obedience. I'm going to make this statement to you. I've said it before. I'll say it again. And I know we'll say it at least once or twice during the soul winning training time. There's nowhere in the Bible that says I have to have somebody saved. That's right. My job is to present the gospel. Whether somebody gets saved or not has nothing to do with me other than I got the gospel out. God holds me accountable for getting the gospel to someone, not for them getting saved. It is between them and God whether they get saved or not. Everybody doing okay? You want the results. You want the notch on your belt. You want the number in the back of your New Testament. You want this. You want to see that person do something. Well, I'm not sure they really got saved or not. Who are you to judge? I've heard these liberals, they'll say, well, I hear you talk about how many people got saved. How many of them really meant it? I said, let me put it to you this way. A total stranger knocked on their door, talked to them for a moment, asked them if they knew for sure they were going to heaven, showed them the verses in Scripture that they were a sinner on their way to hell, that Jesus paid the price for them, and so all they had to do is trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. They bowed their head, they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. How much more sincere do they have to be? Show me one place in the Bible where it says your life has to be transformed and changed because you got saved. That's like saying you're going to go to the buffet and because somebody else doesn't eat exactly what you eat and how much you eat, they didn't go to the same buffet as you went to. God makes it all available. That doesn't mean everybody takes him up on the offer. And who are we to judge? Now watch this. God says keep obeying whether you see results or not. This church is a soul winning church not because of results but because it's obedience to God. Amen. You've never heard me as your pastor say, well, we didn't have enough people saved this week. We've got to work harder this next week. I refuse to do that. I believe it's every Christian's responsibility to get the gospel to every creature they can. That's what our responsibility is.
Yes, sir.
Mrs. Lopez sometimes gets a little down because the bus route's down. I said, Mrs. Lopez, did you visit? Yes. Did you do your best? Yes. That's all God asked. Don't worry about the results. The Sunday school teacher, well, if my class isn't what it... if you're doing what you're supposed to do, God will bless it. Don't worry. God's goodness is on the way. Yes. Quit looking at the results and look at the obedience. There are businessmen in this church. You have your own businesses or side businesses. If you'll obey that book, whether the results you see right now are good or not, it doesn't matter. Do what he says, God will bless.
Amen.
I don't know how else to say that. God wants obedience, not results. You measure Christianity by results. God says, I measure it by obedience. By the way, that's why we have no right to judge somebody else's salvation or spirituality. We're not to judge how spiritual somebody is. When you start doing that, you've already started going the wrong direction. Well, you have to turn from all of your sins or you really didn't get saved. You have to mean it with all your heart. Look out. That works. Show me the ability to measure all your heart. Matter of fact, the heart is our emotion. God says after we've been saved, we're to trust him with all our heart. Trust him with our heart. Everybody doing okay? But nowhere in Scripture does it say that you have to believe with all your heart. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart. Doesn't say all thy heart. Everybody doing okay? Thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can I tell you something? I can show you the bad doctrine of, well, you have to believe with all your heart. Let me show you something. Brother Josh, come up here for a second. Here's a dirty, rotten, scum of the earth, low-down sinner. Lost, has a dead spirit. But he comes in contact with the gospel, has enough faith that God gave him that he says, I realize I'm a sinner on my way to hell, but Jesus paid the price. That's a good deal. I'll trust it. He bows his head and I'll trust Christ as his Savior. Now watch this for a second. How can he do that with all his heart when his heart was lost just moments ago? You expect him with a spiritual life, maybe 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years of being saved, that he's supposed to understand the things of God like you do. It's a brand new baby. Thank you. You hatch a baby out, you don't take it home and feed it T-bone steak, rare, and mashed potatoes and gravy, and a salad and blueberry pie on the side. Now, you and I like that, but you're going to choke that baby to death. But, watch this, you can feed that baby that. The mama eats the food, and the body converts it to milk. My job is to take the food and turn it to milk so that everybody can understand it. Until you start taking some of the food yourself. Everybody doing okay? Quit judging whether he was sincere or not. Not everybody's going to give everything up and be super Christian like you. When you pull your shirt off, it doesn't say S or W. Wonder Woman. Anyway, I was trying to be... Yeah, and any more nowadays, she's a sodomite. I'm proud of it. And yet, we think that's the most wonderful thing. You see, we need to believe to see by waiting on God. We're supposed to get the gospel out, not judge whether somebody got saved or not. If somebody's willing to listen to a total stranger, read the Bible to them, on their porch or in their living room, and they'll bow their head and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, how much more faith do you need? That is the miracle of soul winning. I've watched people walk into this church building, lost as a goose in a snowstorm, listen to this crazy old preacher preach. They'll walk an aisle, bend the knee, somebody will take the Bible, and they'll get saved, they'll get baptized, and you have a Larry and a Sherry Cole. And every Saturday afternoon, they come and help clean part of the church. Say, how's that take place? God. I can't explain it. You see, most Christians run and hide and cry in depression instead of staying busy for God. Well, my toenail hurts, so I got to stay home. Well, get your foot out of your mouth and quit sucking on your toe and let's get going. God knows if we'll keep serving, we'll keep our eyes off our own self and our own problem, and he'll have the ability to show his goodness. Amen. Some of you run and hide in depression, and you don't see God's goodness because you're hiding, not serving. That's good. God says, wait on the Lord. Amen. You might not see it right now, but just, well, I don't feel it anymore. Preacher, I don't always feel it either. I've been soul winning for over 40 years. Do you think I always feel like going soul winning? Man, I hope they're not home. Brother Juan and I went yesterday, thought I was at the right house, knocked on the door, told him who I was, and the guy looked at me like a calf looking at a new gate. He said, I think they live next door. Oops. Say, what'd you do? Gave him a gospel tract, invited him to church. Stuck my foot in my mouth. But I told Brother Juan, I said, we may have knocked on the wrong number, but it was the right house. You see, God knows that if we'll keep serving, we'll keep our eyes off ourselves and we'll keep going. We'll keep our eyes off our own problem and keep going. So, number one, we'll faint if there's no hope of God's goodness. Number two, believing to see takes waiting. Number three, believing to see takes courage. Look at verse number 14 again. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. I want you to notice there's a word there that most of us forget. Good courage. Did you know that it takes courage to do bad too? If you're going to go rob a bank, it takes courage. If you're going to go do wrong, it takes courage. It will take courage. Did you know courage means there's presence of fear? Without the presence of fear, there's no courage necessary. In other words, you're going to have to face your fear. You're going to have to face that difficulty. Keep on serving and say, I may not feel it. I may not see it. But I'm going to keep on going. It's kind of like driving in the fog. You might have to slow down a little bit, but keep on going. I don't know if you've ever driven in heavy fog. Boy, is that miserable. You say, what do? I've learned in heavy fog, as long as it's not in town or something, if you're out on the highway, you kind of go in the middle of two lanes and you follow the little reflectors. You say, why? Because that's, you know, you're in the middle of the road. Too many want to see the end before they start down the path. God doesn't always show you the end of the road, sweetheart. You got to keep on going to find the end. It takes courage to go when you cannot see two steps ahead. How many of you have ever been down underground in one of those big caverns that's really dark? And I mean, or a mine or something like that. It takes a little courage, doesn't it? You're hoping, does this guy know where he's taking us? I remember we were teenagers. We went over near Washington, PA. I think it's called Laurel Caverns. You're talking 40 years ago. So it was a long time ago. There was one spot down there. They called it Devil's Drop. We were chucking rocks over the edge of this thing, as big as we could pick up, probably 50-pound rocks. And we never heard them hit the bottom. You could not hear the thing hit the bottom. And you're thinking, that's not good. But the worst part is, you had a ledge about that wide, and you couldn't stand up all the way. You had to crawl on your hands and knees to get from one side to the other to get there. And they said, just don't fall. You have a rock, you know, rock wall here. You've got 18 inches and you got the eternal abyss. Don't fall. Lean to the right. Don't worry, baby. I'm hugging that wall the whole way. It takes a little courage to do that. God's goodness is always there whether you see it or not. You might not see the next step, but God's goodness is there. Keep on going. Courage is needed to press on, not waiting for life to clear up before you go. Please don't take this the wrong way, but church, aren't you glad that your preacher had enough courage to keep going when we couldn't see where the next step was? Yes, sir. You say, preacher, you knew what to do. I fake it till you make it. Yeah. I told you I did. I was lying through my ugly teeth. I was thinking, oh, Lord, help me. You got to do something. I mean, I crawled out on the end of this log and nobody's there. Don't cut it now. You see, the doctors and the psychologists will tell you, oh, you need to slow down. You need to quit for a while. You need to rest. No, God says press on with courage. Press on believing that you'll see the next step as the pathway keeps going. You will not always see the end, but you can see the next step. By the way, quit playing God in your own life, and you decide when it's clear enough to go. Isn't it amazing when you don't want to do something, it's always not God's will? Well, I prayed about it. 99% of God's will is found right there. You know, Brother Mike, I didn't have to pray about going to church. Forsake not the assembling ourselves together as men or some is. I didn't have to pray about it. God told me I ought to do it. Everybody doing all right? I don't have to pray about whether I should go soul winning or not. God commanded me to get the gospel to every creature. So I go soul winning. Do I always like it? God didn't say I had to like it. He just said do it. Man, I'm having fun right now. It takes courage. Take courage and believe you will see God's goodness when everything clears up. But when it's foggy, hang on. My wife and I have made the trip to Lexington 14,263 times. I can drive Route 68 to 79 in my sleep, and I've done it a few times. But when it starts getting cooler weather out, have you ever driven 68 and it's foggy? You know, you hit those mountains up there, and you're thinking, oh, Lord, what do? You white-knuckle it, and you get through it. Because I know in just a couple miles, I'm going to come down below the fog level here. Ooh, it's getting bad. Okay, I can see for till the next hill. And you get just enough rest up to know the next mountain's coming, and here we go again. Well, I can do those things in the fog, at night, in daytime, you name it. As long as it's not snowing real bad, I can get through there. Say why? Because I've been on that road so much, I know when the fog is going to be there and at what points the fog is, and I know if I can just hang on a little longer, we'll make it. Christians have no business living in panic, despair, and anxiety. Press on in courage. Press on. Believe that you'll see and keep on going. I've got to hurry. Last point here. Number four. Believing to see will allow God to strengthen your heart. Look at verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Watch this. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Your heart is your emotions. Not your soul. Your heart. Now watch this. Let me remind you that strength comes by opposition. Preacher, how do you handle so much bad news? Well, I've been doing it for over 30 years. 30 years ago, it was a little harder handling bad news. But I've handled it, and I've gotten stronger. And I've handled it, and I've gotten stronger. And I've handled it, and I've gotten stronger. And I've handled it, and I've gotten stronger. I remember watching the first person I ever saw die. Man, it was a little traumatic. Folks, I've seen hundreds of people take their last breath. Hundreds and hundreds. It doesn't get any less traumatic in some ways, but I've started to see the sweetness of God watching saved people die and go to heaven. There's a wonderful peace that takes place at that point in time. Can I tell you something? I don't enjoy watching people die. That's not one of my favorite things to do as a preacher. Well, let's go watch somebody die today. Yeah, that's real fun, you know? And they never die at good hours. Do you ever notice it's always through the night? Man, I've lost so much sleep over watching people die. It's okay. I've been through it enough that as your pastor, I can help you. I don't enjoy having to go through the problem, but there's not many problems that come my way I haven't seen before. Not many. Say, how do you handle it, preacher? Because the more I've handled, the stronger I've gotten. The stronger I get, the more of those I can handle. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Young people, teenagers, young adults, us older people make living life look a little easier than it really is. Wait till you got to make all the money and pay all the bills. It gets a little bit more complex the older you get, especially when you're buying a house. The paperwork, the mounds of paperwork, and the of the process. Up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. It happens. It's okay. Don't panic. We'll fix it. There's always a way around. Say, what is that? Because I've been on the other side of that so many times. You see, believing to see will allow God to strengthen your heart and your emotions. That's why 2 Corinthians 1:4 is in the Bible, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort others by the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Do you ever think what you went through, maybe God wants to use that so that you can help somebody else? No, you'd rather sit there and suck your thumb and cry about it the rest of your life. I'd rather take it and use it rather than sit there and sulk about it. Let me remind you, strength comes by opposition. The darkness, the blindness, the inability to see causes fear and anxiety and emotions, and you need strength to face those. Use courage, press on, and keep the strength going. Now, that's why you don't let your emotions control you. Emotions are not to control us. They are there to help you enjoy the process. But sometimes emotions are not enjoyable. When you're scared and freaked out and weirded out and depressed and down, don't let them stop you from believing to see God's goodness. Did you know our sinful emotions, watch this, want to take over? It takes courage to tell yourself no. It takes courage to tell your brain, don't think that. It takes courage, it takes strength to sometimes say, I don't feel like doing this, but it's what I'm to do. Let's do it. And don't sulk about it while you got to do it. You can only strengthen your heart or emotions by the opposition that comes your way. I was talking to someone recently, and they said, oh yeah, I've preached three of my grandparents' funerals and two of my wife's grandparents' funerals. And they said, how can you do that? And I said, it's healing for me. I've preached hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of funerals. I don't look forward to doing funerals. I don't sit there and say, okay, there's Brother Barnes. I'm going to pick out his funeral sermon, because Mrs. Barnes is going to kill him. I don't anticipate those. But may I say this, when the day comes, I never thought of doing Brother Rich Stoltz's funeral. But a little over 2 years ago, he fell over dead with a heart attack in the shower and ended up having to do his funeral. 58 years old. I wasn't excited about preaching Brother Stoltz's funeral, but I'm glad I got to do it. I say, preacher, how'd you get through it? He and I were dear friends for decades. Just unbelievable. Just an amazing man. But may I say something? He's in heaven having the time of his life right now. You see, you get strength by going through those times. Did I really feel like going through that? No. Do I want to go through it again? No, but we will. I've been through so many different things. I don't get hard. I don't get calloused. My wife will tell you, I feel deeply. I hurt deeply. I love deeply. Wait till you have to take the body of a baby out of a mama's arms that's dead and hand it to the nurse to take to the morgue. Wait till you have to be the one to where the doctor comes out and says the child didn't make it through surgery. Can you tell the family? Wait till you're the one sitting in the emergency room and there was an accident And the doctor comes out and pulls you aside and says, that 20-year-old's husband just died in that car crash, and she's a widow now. Can you tell her? I don't like those. But I've gotten strength from doing those. I don't want to do those ever again, but I've got strength to do it. I don't like the bad news that I get as a steady stream in my life. Sometimes it comes in tsunami waves, but it's okay. You say, why? Well, if I didn't have God's goodness, I would faint. I believe because I'll keep on serving. And as I keep on serving, I need to believe that God will strengthen me. Whether I see God's goodness in it right now or not, doesn't matter. God's still good. God's goodness is always available. You just won't always see it. What's that tough spot in your life right now? You have a little bitterness against God? Got an edge there? Think God's not been fair to you? How about we give it to God and see the goodness that he has for us? Quit asking God to see the path clearly and to remove the opposition. How about you say, give me the courage and the strength to keep on going? God's not obligated to take it away from you. He's obligated himself to keep you going if you'll keep going. I made God a deal. Brother Mike, we were building this building. I was weary and I was tired. I was in way over my head. I'm fighting the bank, I'm fighting the county, I'm fighting the state, fighting the devil. Half the time I thought I was fighting myself. I remember walking out here early one morning. I said, God, I don't know how to do it. I'm done. So all I know how to do is I'll pick my foot up if you'll put it down. I'll pick the next one up if you'll put it down. If I keep picking them up, would you keep putting them down? Guess what? We just kept on picking up. He kept putting down. I didn't ask him to pick it up. I had to do the work. Figured if I could pick it up, he'd help me push it down. I'd lean forward enough to be able to pick up the next foot and put it down. Man, I felt like I pushed a steamroller through the swamp. But we got it here. Say why? Ask God to help you and take the next step in spite of fear. In spite of not feeling like you can see. In spite of the pain, the agony that it may take, pick up your foot and take the next step. I told the Lord, I've got one more get up than the devil has knocked down. I might not be able to block all the shots, but I can get back up off the canvas. And I'm going to get up one more time, then he can slug me. Can I tell you something? Believe to see the goodness of God. You may not see it right now, but you have to believe it's out there. You're not always going to see it. Have courage, have strength, keep going, and God will help you see the goodness of God someday. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is one of those sermons that you might not need it right now, but the day's coming, you're going to need it. Some of you maybe wish you had it 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago. Believe one day you'll see the goodness of God in whatever situation it is right now.